Just like to open up in prayer. Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for this day. God, we thank you, God, for the provision, God, and giving us air in our lungs, God, and allowing us to be here today, God, to just hear what it is that you have to say to us today, God. I thank you, God, that you've chosen me as a vessel, God, and I'm humbled, God, that you've used this time, God, and used the things that you've poured into my life, God, as just another asset, God, to the body of Christ, Lord. So I just ask, God, that you would just anoint my lips, God, to speak of you, God, and to speak your words clearly today, God. And Lord, may you open up the hearts and minds of each one here today, God, to receive what it is that you have for them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So guys, I just want to just quickly just go back and kind of retouch on where we left off, because this is a series called Getting Reality. This is part two today called Ending Excuses. So as we recover from the last message, we just opened up the door and kind of went through briefly discussing that there are two realities. Okay, there is our reality, our bad reality, I can just say it as simply as that, is one where we're actually comfortable. We're comfortable in that reality because that reality takes care of us, takes care of what we want, makes us feel good about ourselves. Okay, that reality isn't good, however, as far as being part of the body of Christ. That's not the reality that Christ provided for us. So that alternative reality is, again, that reality that Christ has given us and the freedom that comes with that reality. And what we need to do, and hopefully by the end of this series, is understand that there are four major areas that the enemy uses to keep us in our filthy reality, in that reality that is not what Christ provided. Okay, and so what we need to do is start learning how to tackle them. And the first one we're going to tackle today is excuses. And I'm not going to lie, this one's probably the roughest of the four. This is going to probably hit us hard because, as any of us can admit, excuses are probably common practice in our daily adventures during every day of our life. If there isn't one point in time where you have made an excuse, you're about to make one just to recover from that line that you're about to utter out of your mouth. Okay, so the idea of this is to just open up the door, but then we're going to actually start digging deeper. We're not going to just settle with, okay, stop making excuses. That's not going to work. That's just not going to work. You can simply say, oh, you need to just die to that. You'll make an excuse right from the door is why you can't die to that. Am I lying or am I dying? All right. So, in order to kind of open up the eyes a little bit and kind of open it up in a levity, I have a kind of a funny story, and hopefully you guys will relate to my stupidity, because this is about me. About me when I was young and growing up with my mom in the apartment complex in Tamerlane. There was a funny joke that me and my mom had in our house as we related to one another, and the joke was that when I did something that I wasn't supposed to do, my mom would come to me and say, "What did you do?" And I would say, "It wasn't me." And if you have kids that have already given you this lecture yet, if you haven't, be prepared. You will have it soon. It wasn't me. Well, who else could it have been? And my mom had come up with the funny joke. It was the pink elephant then, right? It must have been the pink elephant. And I would nonchalantly agree with that sarcastic remark, innocently thinking, oh, I'm getting away with this one. Pink elephant won, I get away with an IOU. So the pink elephant took a lot of garbage from me in my youth. There was a lot of times that, you know, I would agree and say, yes, the pink elephant did it. And my mom would say, okay, go to your room. And that was, I figured I got off easy. But there was one day that this one particular day that had happened, and I can explain it kind of thoroughly. But me and my friends, we got together, we had some fun outside. It was kind of just after a rainstorm had happened, so a lot of wet stuff. And we had this wood chip pile in the complex. It's gone now. It used to be there for a long period of time, and it was still damp. But my friends wanted to create a fire, like a small little fire. And they decided that was the best place to do it. And so my contribution to it was to get a lighter from my mom, because at that time she smoked. And so I did. Now, of course, lighting a fire on a wood chip pile, now looking back, not a good idea. Not a good idea at all. I didn't know. I was young. I was stupid. And so, unfortunately, we have really wise neighbors in the development. And the front section is full of nosy neighbors. probably still are, if I'm not even sure anymore, but they're very watchful. And one of the ladies up there had seen the fire from a distance, a very small fire that we tried to start. It didn't stay very long. And she called the police. Dun-dun-dun. Not good. Police involved, not good. So the police showed up and rallied the kids. And of all the kids that were involved, not myself, just one, there were four other kids along with me who got busted. This guy did. I got busted because, oh, no. It wasn't that I wasn't fast enough. I knew not to run from the police. I thought that would be a worse thing to do. So I said, you know what? You're right. I got caught. I'll go. So I just kind of gave in. And, of course, you know, my mom gets called home from work by the police. Need to come home. She comes home. She sees me there. And she's talks to the police officer. The officer explains everything. Go inside the house. And the first thing she says, what were you thinking? And immediately my response was, it wasn't me. No, not the pink elephant. It wasn't me. And, of course, my mom's quick-wittedness response goes, let me guess, you're going to blame this one on the pink elephant too. And I said, no, it was the purple alligator. Because the pink elephant wouldn't have done that one. And of course my mom laughed because she wasn't expecting that, but I still got in deep trouble. But the reality of it is, and I'm bringing this story to you guys to show you how ridiculous an excuse actually sounds. Any excuse we make, any, name it. You give an excuse for any kind of thing you've done, you might as well have just simply said something as ridiculous as, oh, a pink elephant did it. There's no such thing as a pink elephant. That's something fabricated from alcoholics. Okay? And really, think about it. It's silly. It's meant to be silly, okay? If you want a more ridiculous example of how I didn't do it, you can ask me later about the bus story. That's another funny one that I can tell too. But the idea is that excuses are serious stuff. And I'm bringing a little bit of levity to it because it is super serious. And it is one of the biggest crippling factors of our walk as Christians. And it's one of the biggest preventers of our impact as a church worldwide in being able to actually do the work that God has commissioned us to do. It is the crippling factor, if not number one. Because anybody can turn around and make an excuse. And I really appreciate Nikki on the bottom of her paper. She's really putting out right there, what's your excuse as to why you can't? She's not really saying that, but if you read in between the lines, guess what? That's what's being said there. What's your excuse? What's your excuse for why you can't go to Guatemala? Because you can make up one, or you can just simply say, you know what, Lord, if you want me to be there, I'll be there. There's nothing going to stop me from going. I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to serve those individuals in Guatemala. See, that's the reality, and that's what God's called us to do. But unfortunately, we always come up with a reason why we can't. And anybody who's been here long enough has probably heard this one from Pastor. Don't tell me what you can't do. Tell me what you can do. Okay? And so today what I'd like to do is be able to start changing our mind and being able to give you guys the tool that you need to actually get out of that reality where you make excuses all the time for your behavior and get into a reality, the one that Christ provides, where you recognize those excuses are null and void. They don't exist because that's what we're going to tackle today. So if you could, turn with me to Romans, the first chapter. We'll be reading verses 20 through 25. Romans 1, 20 through 25 says, for since the creation, turning page, of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. I want to stop there for just a moment. Without excuse. God made everything, provided everything, set everything visibly in our faces, so there was no reason for an excuse. We were made to be without excuse. That was in the creation that God intended. But let's see what happens. This is now going into describing our nature now. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. Amen. If that doesn't hit you right here and reveal how despicable we truly are. Listen, church, right there, we exchange the truth of God for a lie. We make excuses for what we should already be doing because God imparted that nature into us when He created us. Yet what do? We settle for that life instead. We make excuses for why we would choose that over God. That's a big deal. And if that doesn't, if you can't recognize that, then I pray that God open your eyes and open your heart today, right now, to recognize that so you can really receive what God's saying today. Because that's the truth. That's the crippling factor. That is the snare that is trapping the church worldwide today and stopping us from being able to actually be effective in the world that we are. This is our classroom, and we have to practice what we're preaching. Amen? And you know what? If we're not going to stand up and start doing it, then guess what? Might as well give up now. Because you're not going to change that behavior overnight. But we're going to learn today how we can start doing that. Amen? There's two real points here. First one is that the reality is that God has made us so that we would be without excuse. Okay? We are made without excuse. The second is what we chose instead. And we need to see that, we need to see that clear depiction. So what we're going to really discuss then today is really what an excuse is. And we see the word here, we see what happened here, and what the excuse is, and I'm going to give you the definition here, because we sure all have an idea, but I'm going to give you the real literal definition. Excuses are a reason of explanation put forward to defend or justify a fault or an offense. In easier terms, we know we do wrong, but we give a reason as to why we're going to do it anyway. That's what an excuse is. And if we literally take our minds and just kind of go, man, God, why didn't this happen? What happened here? Well, I can remember a really good story in the Bible about a guy and a girl who were in a garden. Does anybody remember that story? What happened there? Well, God created us without excuse, right? And said one simple thing. You can eat of everything. You'd have all that stuff, but not from that tree. And Eve was tempted by the serpent, took the apple, ate, gave it to Adam. Adam just stood there blatantly watching, going, well, if nothing happens to her, then I know I'm good too. And then he took a piece of it because nothing happened, so he was like, oh, okay, cool. And then God came and found them. And what was their immediate response? Excuses. Look, go read. Don't take my word for it, but go read. God called them into account for their behavior, and the first thing that came out of their mouth were excuses for why they did against what God said not to do. Right from the door. And from that point on, church, that same thing cripples us every day of our lives. That same thing happens every day. Do you think the enemy's just going to sit idly by and let you steal the captives that he's worked so hard to keep? Do you think he's just going to let you get out and not want to try and get you back? You live in a delusional world. Guess what? He's real. He doesn't like you. The enemy does not like you because you're against him. There's a war going on, church. You're on one side or the other. We talked about that. You need to choose your side. Are you on the side of Jesus or are you on the side of Satan? I can't make that decision for you, but guess what? If you choose Jesus, then you're against him and he's against you. So you're no longer going to be a friend to him. And guess what? He's going to look at every opportunity he can to sneak you back into his camp. Because one less of you means more victory for him. That's how he plays. And he don't play fair. We should know this by now. He doesn't play fair. He plays dirty. And right here is one of the dirtiest tricks that the enemy uses to continue to keep us from being effective. How easy is it for you to turn around and excuse the behaviors that you commit? That's the problem we have. And that's the problem we're faced with today. See, the big deal is, And this is the reality we're talking about, okay? This is that comfort reality. This is the one that we choose to accept as our livelihood and what we want to incorporate Christ into. Remember, this is what we're doing. We're trying to bring Christ into our reality instead of discarding our reality and saying, you know what, I chose Christ's reality and I'm going to dwell in Christ's reality instead. Okay? That's what we're talking about. That's what we're dealing with. But what we've done is we've incorporated Christ into ours. Okay? That's what we're really trying to do here. And what I'm going to show you is how ridiculous this reality looks. When you make an excuse, you want to know what you've really done? This is what you've done. You've already excused a behavior that you had no intention of changing. God's called you to change. You incorporated Christ, and I'm sure you hear God, okay? And he's saying, you need to change this attitude. You need to stop doing these things. And what do? The second you're brought with the chance of making the decision, because remember, we're talking about the decision, the choice time. That's when it happens. It's not going to be all the time. It's going to come, the testing comes when you have to make a decision. Am I going to choose to walk out in Christ-likeness, or am I going to choose my self-life, and that's the way I want to do it? Because guess what? What I'm exposing now is when that time comes, that pressure situation comes, you need to make a decision. Guess what? What you have already done is you've already excused the decision you've already made before you even got to that point. I'm going to give you an illustration what that looks like. You're in the army of Christ. Okay? You're standing linked arms with your brothers. You got your shield, your sword. You're ready for battle. Enemy hasn't even crossed over the hills yet. And you turned around and you start looking. All right. There. I'm going to jump over that hill. I'm going to make a beeline to the tents. I'm going to hide behind that tent and I'm good. And as soon as the enemy comes, drop your stuff and run. You're a coward. Amen. And you're going to retreat in the face of the enemy. You're going to retreat. That's what making an excuse is actually doing. Because you've already made your decision before you got there. Church, guess what that is? That's premeditated sin. You've already made a determination that you're going to go against the will of God. That's what you've done when you make an excuse. That is exactly what you have done. You have predetermined that you're going to quit when the call of God comes upon your life. You're going to give it up because you don't want to make that change. Why, though? That's the big question. Why? 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 Why do we do that? We all do it, do we not? We all do. And it's stupid stuff, too. I mean, we really make excuses for stupid stuff. We make excuses for why we can't pick up the Bible and read it every day. Oh, man. God, you don't understand. I got to get up at 5:30 every day. I got to work till 7. When am I supposed to fit you in? I don't know. What's more important? Who's keeping breath in your lungs? You want to be able to wake up tomorrow and do it again? Or do you want to try this the right way? I mean, that's your decision. That's not mine. But do we not do that? It's something simple. Give God 15 minutes of your time and just spend some time in the Word with Him. That's not a lot. But we make excuses for why we can't. We make excuses why we curse and swear. And if we were in prayer today, Pastor had shared a word out of James. It was really just dealing with that itself. But why do we do it? We know that that's not acceptable language. Does it happen in here? Does God use those words? No. Then why are we? We know it's not acceptable. But we make excuses. Well, you don't understand. I was really angry. And I was really frustrated. Da 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 da. You don't need to be frustrated. You need to start being fascinated. All right? We've learned that. So we're changing our dialogue. We're changing our way of thinking. What else? Why we demean our spouses? Ooh. I don't do that. I've seen it happen. Some things are just simple. But we make an excuse for why we do those things. We know that's not what God says. We're supposed to honor them. We're supposed to lift them up above us, of all things. Never put them down. Yet, oh, but God, you don't understand. She was giving me a headache. She was asking me to do things that I just didn't want to do. I had my own agenda. What's your decision? But guess what? 9 times out of 10, you've already made the decision. You've made that decision. You've predetermined that what your responses are going to be. You've already made your escape route. That's a truth. And you know what? Today we're going to expose that truth, we're going to die to that truth, and we're going to learn how to get back what the enemy's stealing here. Because that's the truth there too. Every time you make an excuse, guess what? You just put some money in the enemy's piggy bank. You've just given some more of your time, more of your effort, more of your soul, everything. You're just investing right in the enemy's territory. And you're going to end up reaping that crop one day. And you're not going to like what you get. So let's get on the positive side of things now. Let's flip the script. Let's turn around and go, all right, you know what? I recognize God. I'm in this reality. I recognize that I've brought you into this corrupt, despicable reality that used to be myself. And because I'm not willing to die to these things, but I'm thinking I can bring you in here. And you'll make it, you'll change it, you'll rearrange the furniture, and you'll redo this, and you'll blow out an expansion on my reality, and I'll have a nice happy home here. That's not the way it works. That is not how he works. He doesn't bend to our will. We need to bend to his. Amen? And so what we're going to do today is we're going to transplant ourselves. We're going to leave that reality. We're going to come over to this reality, and we're going to figure out how we can stay here. Because that's what's even more important. It's one thing to sit down and say, I can do that, but can you stay? Well, the reason we have such a hard time staying, and the reason we make excuses, and this is the exposing of what these excuses really come from, comes from fear. Remember, we're talking about the time of making a decision. Why do you make an excuse? Because you're afraid. You're afraid of condemnation for the decision you're about to make. You're afraid you're going to make the wrong decision. Or even worse, that the decision you make is going to be bad. And it's going to cause problems. So you go, and you go, you know what? I'm just not going to make a decision. There. Now I don't have to deal with it. All's good. But you made a decision to not make a decision. And you know what God says about you being in the middle? You're a fence sitter. And he will spew you out of his mouth. That is an abomination to him. He'd rather you pick a side. Make a decision. That's what he wants you to do. But we sit here in this reality and go, I'm good. I'll just let things go by. It'll figure itself out. I'll just sit back and wait and see what happens. Then I'll make a decision. Fear of condemnation is really what's happening. The fear of what will come, not knowing what is the outcome, keeps you from making a decision. That's the truth. Turn with me to Romans, a little bit further down. We're already there, so just go to chapter 8. We're going to go right at the very beginning, verse 1. We'll just go to 4 here. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Stop right there. In Christ reality. Not him in your reality. It doesn't work that way. There's still condemnation here because Jesus just basically says, listen, when you're ready to make a decision, I'm over here, buddy. Until then, you got a lot of mess to clean up. And you're going to be afraid of what your decisions are going to be. But in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. We are absent of fear here. Why? Let's keep going. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. The Spirit of God sets you free from condemnation, but you need to choose this reality in order to have the Spirit of God in you. You cannot have the Spirit of God over here. I'm telling you right now. Your stinkhole mess, the Holy Spirit doesn't want nothing to do with it. He doesn't want nothing to do with it. Because He knows what you're about. He knows your business. And you know what? He's going to leave you there. And He's going to be waiting for you over here saying, when you're ready to actually change your life, I'll be here. But you know what? That Spirit produces life. That Spirit produces prosperity. That Spirit removes fear, because guess what? What's over here is faith. You don't need to worry about what's going to happen. You need to just have hope and seek godly counsel. Seek God. Seek His Word. And guess what? It's all there. Because guess what's over here is what He created when He said in the beginning. There's nothing that He has set up here that says you need an excuse for. You don't need excuses here. The only thing that exists here is faith. And you just continue to trust God in every decision that you make. Because that's where this existence is calling you into being. That's what's going to happen here. You receive the Spirit of God in this reality, and God then turns around and says, you don't need to fret, because I am with you. There is no condemnation and fear here. None. You're all good here. You can't bring Him in here, though. It doesn't work that way. And we're going to see that. Hopefully, and I'm just saying, hopefully, some of us are here. If not, by the end of today, hopefully you get here. My visual stance is in Christ, for anybody who's just listening. I want you to be in Christ today. I want you to get out of that reality that is filled with the lies and deceptions of the enemy, and that you're going to continue to live in, because excuses basically say, I can stay the way I am. But I'm not going to make a decision to change. I hope today you finally make one decision. And you say, you know what? I'm going to change. And I'm going to stay put here. If you make that decision and you're there already, great. Then we need only one more thing. How do I stay there? It's one thing to get here. A lot of us can get here. Heck, some of us get here on a daily basis. But by the end of the day, we're back over here again. Which is why I say, you never really actually gone over there. You just kind of brought Jesus and put Him in here. You never fully made your transition, because you haven't fully made that decision yet. You still got your escape route planned. Throw your escape route out. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, guess what? When it's your time to go, praise God. Hallelujah. Thanks be to the Lord. And hopefully I did enough that when I stand before Him, He's going to say, well done, my faithful servant. Enter in. That's all you need to worry about. From here on out. That's it. The next things you should be doing here is yays and amens. Lord, what does He want me to do? Yay. And when it's done, amen. That's it. You got a job to do over here. You got a job to do over here too. You're just neglecting it. It hasn't changed. You still got a job to do. But over here, it's just easier. As it should be. Because that's what God's designed it for. He's not designed it to be difficult. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Not, oh my God, I don't know what to do. That's not what this world is. That's not what this reality talks about. That's what your reality talks about. So how do we stay here? In this case, I actually had to go to the actual King James Version, because there's very, very, very specific part. And if you have a King James Version Bible, awesome, you can turn to this. If you don't, as I do not, I had to actually type this out. King James Version in James chapter 5, verse 12, just this one verse, has a very, very important message for us. And it's very important that we read it from this version, because other versions, they've changed the words. And I think they've not lost the meaning, but the terminology kind of changes the way we interpret it. But it says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. That's talking about our testing. And if you don't think you're going to be tested when you're over here, think again. Because the enemy's ploy is to get you out. You're an enemy here in Christ. You're an enemy to him. You're an enemy to the devil. And if you don't think you are, hey, go talk to Rod. He'll tell you. You need to hate evil. He'll tell you right there. Hate evil. I hate the devil. I hate evil because he does evil things. I love what is good. And I hate evil. Well, you know what? If you're over here, then guess what? You need to hate evil. And this is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to try and snare you back. And this is what it's talking about. When they're saying, swear not by heaven, by earth, by any other oath, they're talking about, don't make excuses. There's a lot of things that we have in our knowledge bank that we can easily turn back onto and say, you know what? I can excuse this behavior that I'm about to make. I can make an excuse for it. But the outcome of that is, guess what? You will fall back into condemnation. You will fall back into that fearful state. You will fall back into that muck and mire that you made, that's your reality. That's the snare. You can fall back. But how do you do it? He says it very clear. Let your yeas be yea, and let your nays be nay. Make a decision. That's what you have to do. You have to make a decision. You have to stand on that decision. That's why it's yea, yea, or nay, nay. Yes. You sure? Yes. Okay. You've made your decision. Or, no, I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to participate in that event because it's going to cause me to sin. You sure? I'm sure. I'm not participating. I've made a decision. I'm not going to sit back and wait for it to happen. I'm going to make a decision. Does that mean we're not going to make bad decisions? Nope. No, we'll still make them. But what's the difference here? When I make a bad decision and I'm over here, guess what? You know what I'm going to do? You're right, God. I made a bad decision. Why did I make a bad decision? You know what? I really didn't seek your counsel. I didn't seek your word. I didn't even seek you. I just made a decision. But you know what? I'm going to own that decision. And I'm going to own the consequences that came with that bad decision. But I'm going to learn on not making that bad decision again. That's what this is about. I didn't make an excuse. I did it. You're right. I did it. But you know what? I'm not going to do it again. That's what being here is all about. Absent of excuses. I'm not going to excuse a bad behavior. Now, does that mean, oh, well, I can just keep making bad decisions? No, you can, but that just makes you an idiot. And definition of an idiot is doing the same thing over and over again, looking for a different result. Well, I mean, if you made a bad decision and you got your bad result and then you make a bad decision again, that's not my word. That's just the definition of it. I'm sorry. But hey, if that means stop making bad decisions comes clear through that word, then by all means, you're an idiot. Okay? And that by no means is an inference towards anybody here, but that's the reality. Don't make the same bad decisions over and over again. What you need to do is you need to seek the word of God. You need to see God as to where you want to go. When you're encountering a decision and it's not clear, what should you do? You need to go find out the clarity you need to make an educated, godly decision. That's what we need to start changing our attitudes from. We, carnality-wise, will make a decision based on my carnal self. I will make a decision that benefits me. That's what happens over in that reality. You're seeking yourself, you're seeking what's good for you and what makes you comfortable. But guess what? When you come to Christ, it ain't about you no more. You're over there dead. Here, you only have Christ to show. And you know what? Guess what that means? It's going to cost you your will. It's going to cost you what you want. It's going to cost you the desires of your heart. But guess what the reward is? When you make a decision that says, God, this is what you want to do, then I'm on it. Amen. Let it be done. And I'm going to do it to your glory, God. I'm going to do it to your glory. Guess what? He's going to give you the desires of your heart. That's what he promises. So guess what? It's a win-win. It's a win-win here, guys. I'm not I'm not saying anything that is not clearly stated here. It is a win-win. When you choose to live in the reality that Christ has provided for us, it's a win-win. You do what God told you to do, guess what? You're in His righteousness. That umbrella protection is waving over top of you. God's blessings will pour out from that. And guess what? You will have your needs met. That's the truth. We need to stop making excuses that say our behavior is okay. We need to make one decision today. And if we make that one decision today, it's that I'm going to end my excuse making. I'm going to end the excuses because guess what? A, it's not pleasing to God. It's actually an abomination to God. It's actually a mockery of the power of Christ that's in you. You might as well just say, Christ died for what? That's a tough word to say, isn't it? But you're going to make a decision. You're going to make a decision to be in Christ. And when you make that decision to be in Christ, you're going to do what Christ calls you to do. And you're not going to make excuses when you mess up, but you're going to make the one thing that you need to do. Change. You're going to change that behavior. You're going to stop making excuses for when you make a bad decision, and instead you're going to go, you know what, I made a bad decision. I need help in making good decisions. There's no one man army in Christ. There's only one man army in Christ, and that is Christ. No one person goes out with all the battalion swinging arms and everything like that, because guess what? I'm going to be looking for you when you come back with your tail between your legs making excuses to why you couldn't win the battle. Because that's the reality. That's what's going to happen. You're going to fall trying to do it on your own. We are a body. Christ made us a body for a reason. And if you go through, you can find again, all the body parts make up one body. But we're all there to help each other. And we were talking about that. We have to help each other. We have to help each other. We're there for each other. We're there to say, you know what, brother? You need help here. Let me help you up. Let me help you get through this. Because guess what? You can't do it on your own. None of us can. Not even Pastor can. Why do you think I'm up here? It's not because Pastor just turned around and said, oh, you know what? I'm done preaching. Somebody else needs to take the pulpit. I approached him and said, you know what, Pastor? God's called a lot of things on your plate. And God's given me something to share that'll take about 5 weeks to go through. This will relieve you to do those things that you really need to do. Is that a lie? No excuse. There's no excuse. And I hope that my doing this is freeing him up to do the things that God's called him to do. So there's no excuse in him. See, that's the next thing we have to get to. After we get away from ourself, how can I turn around and help take excuses from another? That's the big thing. Deal with you first. I'm not going to lie. You need to get yourself here first. You can't do it when you're over there. It's impossible. I don't care how much Christ you pull into that pool of garbage. You're not going to be able to do it. It's not happening. But once you make the determination that you're going to be in Christ and you're going to do what Christ has called you to do, and you get yourself into that position where, you know what? I'm not going to make excuses any longer. I'm done. I'm just going to do what you call me to do, God. And I'm going to find out what it is you want me to do. And then I'm going to do it. And if I mess up, I'm going to own it. Once you get that done, then you should start seeking out. How can I take excuses for my brothers and my sisters? How can I free them from those areas where they're struggling? Because guess what? This isn't just about me. Or us. It's about all of us. This is a kingdom movement, guys. This is not just a one and done. This isn't just streams of life work in progress. This is the kingdom of God's work in progress. This is what we need to do if we want to be that Acts church. If we want to be the church 2,000 years ago that went out in the streets, preached, and thousands accepted the Lord. Is that not what we're called to do? All of us, every single one of us are called to that exact same thing. Yet because of these things, these four little things, and they're little guys, yet what they do and the damage they cause is they enable us from being effective. And there's a world that's dying out there, guys, every day. because we're not willing to deal with our own stuff. We're not willing to die to what we need to do, and we're going to continue to make excuses for what we're just settling for and being happy and being our own in our own existence when we're not to be that. If we're going to call ourselves real Christians and stop being that iconic, despicable word that people have come to recognize as hypocrites and liars and cheaters and stealers. No, you know what? I want to be a Christian, but I want to be what Christ called a Christian. And I'm going to start changing your opinion of a Christian starting today. And that should be our motto. We shouldn't be ashamed of calling ourselves Christians. We should be changing the opinions of those who have that belief in Christians by saying, you know what? I'm a Christian, and what you believe is wrong. And I'm going to prove it to you. Come with me. That's what we need to start doing. And I'm not on this myself, guys. I can't do this by myself. So I'm asking you all today. Are we in? Are we in? Amen. Hallelujah, Father God. I just thank you, Lord God, that you've provided another area, God, another area exposed, God, of where we are falling short, God, of your glory, God. And I ask, Lord, that you would expose those areas, God, that you would open them up, God, and that we, God, would make a decision to cast them at the foot of the cross this very moment, God, and we would bury it, God. We would dig it so deep, God, that we would bury it so far down that, God, we would never, ever be able to even recognize it again, God. That, Lord God, we would start living in your power and in your glory and in your righteousness, God, that you have made for us, God, from your death on the cross, God. And that, Lord God, we would start literally seeing how the kingdom of God is supposed to operate and start doing those things that you've commanded us to do, God. Start getting ourselves out of the way, God, and start moving as one unit, as one body, with one work and one goal in mind, God. And that is to go and see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, God. We seek that day, God, and we want to be faithful to that, God. So we are united today in arms, God, as brothers and sisters, God, standing for one cause, God, and that is your purpose and your will in our lives. And we pray this all together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.